Everyone, hello. So yeah, today I want to talk to you about my passion for worship. And when I talk about worship in this context, I'm not just referring to the musical side of it that we hear in church on Sundays, although that is part of it. I'm talking about worship in the context of our whole relationship to God. And worship is something that is going on around us in every possible form and style you can imagine, on earth as in heaven, right now as it has been since the beginning of time. And in a way, you could look at earthly worship as a flavor of the kind of thing that is going on in heaven. And worship is central to who we are. It's what we were created to do. It's how we engage with God. And the first part of that psalm, again, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. And sometimes I think we might get a bit disillusioned with worship. We might feel disconnected from the worship at church. We might be worried about the changing style of worship that we see around us. And I think sometimes we forget how simple worship is really supposed to be when it comes down to it. Regardless of the packaging, like the psalm says, it's supposed to be a shout of joy to the Lord. So why am I passionate about worship? Well, I have three reasons, all of them stolen from Tim Hughes, and all of them beginning with P. So firstly, worship is our purpose. It is a dynamic relationship between us and God, and it impacts every level of our lives, and that is basically what worship is. And before the creation of the world, God chose us to be in relationship with him, and that our very existence was to be for the praise of his glory. In Ephesians 1 verse 6, it talks about our existence being to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. And even the arrival of heaven in Revelation is described in terms of worship. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things." So we were created to worship, and the word worship basically means to ascribe worth to something. But in theory, you can give worth to anything, can't you? I mean, you can give worth to material things, to other people, you know, celebrities, whatever. So worship is important because it's what we were created to do. But when we aren't worshiping God, we end up worshiping other things. And this means that we're missing out on the fullness of this experience. And ultimately, if we don't find fulfillment in worshiping God, we really end up worshiping nothing other than ourselves. And for many, the pursuit of personal satisfaction, fame, money, power, you name it, becomes the focus of their life's ambition. And I think to some extent we probably all struggle with that. But however rich or powerful or famous we might become, these things can never really satisfy us. Our relationship with God is what ultimately satisfies us, and worship is the way that we develop that relationship. So throughout the Bible there are a lot of examples of people being called to worship. When Job loses everything, one of the first things he does is to fall to his knees in worship. When David dances before the Lord, it is an act of worship. When Mary finds out that she is carrying Jesus, her reaction is to worship. And when the wise men come to meet the baby Jesus, they worship. And when the disciples realize that Jesus is Lord, they realize who he is, their response is to worship him. And Matt Redman wrote in one of his books, when we face up to the glory of God, we find ourselves face down in worship. So worship is central because God made us, not as a kind of project to be discarded once construction was complete, but as a child with whom he could share a powerful, ongoing relationship. And when we worship, we are, in a way, holding up our side of that relationship. And as the Psalm, Psalm 100 reminds us, the wonderful news of the Christian faith is that there is a God. He is good, and we can know him. And today we're invited into the beautiful exchange that is worship, where we can find our true identity and purpose as worshippers of the living God. So, secondly, worship is our priority. If worship is our purpose, when it finds expression through the whole of our lives, then it stands to reason that we must make it the main priority in our lives. We need to learn what it means to make the worship of Jesus Christ central. Put simply, worship is our response to what we value most. So genuine worship involves giving everything of who we are to God. He needs to become our number one priority above every ambition or activity. And this is where that second passage comes in, if you're wondering how they are going to be linked. But in Luke's gospel, Jesus is invited to the home of Mary and Martha. Martha absorbs herself in preparing a meal, while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, refusing to give in to the cultural and religious expectations of the day. And it would have been quite a shocking gesture, because these were quite important expectations back then. But she was utterly determined to make the most of every minute, to hold on to Jesus' every word. And in a first century home, she would have been very aware of her sister Martha working hard in the kitchen practicing hospitality, and welcoming strangers was a very important religious duty, particularly welcoming a rabbi or a teacher. And yet Mary does something very radical and countercultural. And the Bible describes her as sitting at Jesus' feet in the posture of a disciple, effectively asking to become a disciple herself. And then Martha bursts in and interrupts Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And yet Jesus defends Mary's choice. He says, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So worship will only become our priority if we choose to make it so. We have to make a decision to be like Mary rather than Martha, not letting the busyness and distractions of life get in the way of our worship. And that choice has implications for our time, our lifestyle, our money, our energy, and our ambitions in this life. In worshiping God, we make him the priority. As Richard Foster writes, if the Lord is to be Lord, worship must be the main priority in our lives. The divine priority is worship first, service second. And Psalm 100 invites us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And there's something very deliberate and practical about that verse. It's making a choice and a decision to worship God with thanksgiving and praise. So finally, worship is our privilege. Worship is our purpose and our priority, and it's also the greatest privilege that we could know. And the one who made the universe, who flung the stars into space, invites us to enter his gates thankfully, to run into his courts with praise, and to come close. And as we worship God, we experience a chain reaction of blessing, if you like. We discover more of God's love, his goodness, his faithfulness through every generation, and our hearts can't help but respond in worship. And at the same time, God reveals more of the wonders of his love. We experience forgiveness and healing and restoration. Like Mary, we love more because we've been forgiven much. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, as which you may have heard, explains that the chief end of mankind is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. C.S. Lewis reflected on this saying, writing, fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. So I'd encourage us to do one simple thing, to make worship more central to our lives. That's the invitation, to embark on an adventure that never ends, but that continually captivates and satisfies. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us in a fresh way today. And the Bible tells us that God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Why don't we ask God to fill us with new purpose, to reorder our priorities and to pour the Father's love into our hearts so that we might take another step on this life-changing, dynamic relationship with him.